Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
This is Patricia Camilleri, welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. I'm very happy to have with me in the studio today for University Matters on Campus FM, Dr. Mario Parch. Just a few words about my guest, as usual. He's resident senior lecturer of Italian at the Department of Arts and Languages in Education, which falls within the Faculty of Education here at the University of Malta. He is responsible for the training and formation of teachers of Italian as a foreign language, as well as for the organization of tutorials for students to advise in the compilation of STEP, S-T-E-P, one of these acronyms, the Student Teachers Professional Development E-Portfolio. He is also chairperson of the PDP committee within the Faculty of Education and coordinator of the teaching practice sessions for student teachers of Italian within the same faculty. He's participated conferences both in Europe and in the USA, and has published various academic papers with topics varying from the teaching of Italian as a foreign language to the teaching of foreign languages for specific purposes. Dr. Parch is chairman of the General Certificate of Education Examinations of Italian in Malta. Welcome to the program, Dr. Parch.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Today we're going to talk about a specific project, mainly about the language proficiency assessment, which was introduced, I gather, last September, October. Perhaps you'd like to tell us about it. However, before actually launching into the project itself, I was reading through some documents, obviously, that you gave me for a bit of background. And in the first paragraph, it mentioned the Malta Qualifications Framework, Levels 1, 2, and 3. And to be honest, I've really no idea how that works. And I imagine most of the listeners out there won't really know what the Malta Qualifications Framework is. So if we're going to talk about the project, we better talk about that beforehand, the framework first, perhaps. What do you think?
Yes, that's right. In fact, the program I'm working on, this project, is the language proficiency assessment at levels 1, 2, and 3 of the Malta Qualifications Framework. So what are these level 1, 2, and 3 of the Malta Qualifications Framework? The Malta Qualifications Framework is a framework, as its name implies, of indicating the level of the qualifications of individuals, starting from level 1, which is a school leaving certificate, ending in level 8, which is a doctoral degree. So we have these 8 steps, and the program I'm working on targets young people at level 1, 2, and 3. Why? Level 3 is or refers to those students who, at the end of compulsory schooling, sit for their SEC examinations and obtain grades 1 to 5 in a subject. So if, for example, I obtain a grade 4 or a grade 5 or a grade 1 in Italian, French, German, over there I have a level 3 of education in the language. Level 2 refers to those students who at SEC level obtain a grade 6 or 7. Level 1 is the minimum, which is a school leaving certificate. Now, the problem over here is that, especially as far as languages are concerned, the school leaving certificate and level 2, that is the SEC certificate at grade 6 and 7, are very often considered to be a fail. Why? Because students who usually obtain a level 3 present the SEC certificate indicating the grades between 1 and 5. Students who do not have that type of certificate obviously have to present either the school leaving certificate or the level 2 certificate. But from the employer's point of view, that is considered very often a fail. In fact, the grade 6 or a 7, you cannot even enter to junior college and continue further your studies at tertiary level. So that is practically the qualifications framework. Now, why did we go for this type of project? For the simple reason that a large number of students are at the end of compulsory education failing to obtain one single certificate in language skills. Now, this is very worrying. It's very worrying for various reasons, not least because of, if we take into consideration that in Malta, our main industry is the tourism industry, and languages play a fundamental role in the tourism industry. Now, one might say, why is it so worrying? What makes you say so? Now, if I can refer to the MATSEC statistical reports, it is, for me, it's quite shocking that after 5 years, so let's make a point clear. Our educational system, in our educational system, students start studying English and Maltese right from year one in the primary school, 6-year-olds.
Right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning. When they go to the secondary school, form one level, 11-year-olds, they start to study one or two foreign languages. So all students in Malta, practically, apart from English and Maltese, which are the official languages, do study one or two foreign languages.
That's in the curriculum.
That's in the curriculum. That's their entitlement. Now, the problem is that at the end of form five, however, a large percentage of these students are failing to sit for SEC examination in languages. If we take, for example, foreign languages, in 2012, 39% of school leavers failed to register for one single language at SEC level. In 2013, the percentage remained practically the same. English language, in 2012, we had 20% of students not registering for English language. In 2013, we had 19% of the students. Now, I'm talking here about the students who, in 2013, turned 16. So I'm not talking about mature students. And these are the students who are Maltese nationals. Maltese, with regards to Maltese, the situation is even more worrying. In 2012, we had 24% of our students not sitting for Maltese SEC examination. It means one out of every four students failed to sit for the Maltese SEC examination. 2013, again, 24%. So, plus these students, we have to add a number of students, about between 10 and 15 other percent, who did sit for the examination, but either did not go for the examination or failed to get the grade. So we're talking about practically half of our students in Malta failing to obtain one single certificate in language at SEC level. Now, this
sounds
is
very surprising to
very,
me.
Very, very worrying. Especially if we, I mean, up to a few years ago, we used to think that Maltese people are good at languages. Reality shows a different thing. So this is very, very worrying. Now, the first thing I did when I was asked to work on this project was, why are students quitting languages? There are various reasons, but the four main reasons are, first of all, there's a perception, especially among adults, that if you want to have a good, a bright future, you want to find a good job, do not study languages. Go for IT, go for science subjects, but forget languages. Now, this perception is totally wrong, and there is a whole lot of literature that shows that you can never be an IT expert or a science expert, especially in the global village we live in today, with all this job mobility from one place to another, if you're weak in languages. So that is the first reason. The second reason is that very often in class, students see very little connection between what they are studying from the language point of view and real-life situations. I'll give you an example. For example, I'm studying Italian in class. I'm following a textbook. Now, the first problem is that when you are studying from a textbook, the setting is not a real setting, but it's an artificial setting. So, when you go to Italy, you will probably hear a totally different language to that being studied in class. To make matters worse, we still have a system of examinations, I'm referring to SEC examinations, where 80% of the marks are set on writing skills. Now, when you're studying a foreign language, for the vast majority of students studying a foreign language, the writing skills are the least important. Why? Because in a foreign language, you need the listening skills, you need the speaking skills, and the reading skills. I mean, only a very few students, a small percentage of students, do continue studying the language at tertiary level. I'm not talking about those students. I'm talking about the majority of the students in class who are studying a language for who knows whatever reason, and very often after compulsory schooling, they will never study the language again. They might go on holiday to France, to Germany, to Spain. Definitely they will not use the writing skills. They don't need the writing skills. They need the speaking skills, they need the listening skills, they need the reading skills. And having this type of exam is putting off a lot of students. The third reason, which I consider very important, is our education system. We have a system, I call it a one-size-fits-all. So you're in Form 1, you have to follow the syllabus for Form 1. You're in Form 2, you have to follow the syllabus for Form 2. Whatever your level in the language. So if I'm at Form 1 level and I fail to grasp the basic concepts of the language, going on to Form 2, I have to follow the syllabus for Form 2. Going up to Form 3, I have to follow the syllabus of Form 3.
Playing catch-up.
That's right. Now, that's a problem. Because if I don't have the basic concepts, it's impossible for a student to grasp the material of Form 4 or Form 5.
But it does create a problem for the school as well. Because
yes, but this project is intended to face this type of problem too.
Fair enough.
The fourth and final problem I'm going to mention, because there are other problems then, is little exposure to languages. When I was younger, when I was a kid, we used to watch TV every day. Unfortunately, today, our kids do not watch any TV. They go on Facebook, they play on the computer, on internet, but they don't watch any television. In fact, in the last Broadcasting Authority survey, which was published in December 2014, the age bracket of people between 11 and 16-year-olds practically do not watch any television at all. So if we don't have this exposure to languages, it's difficult to grasp the language. Apart from this, then there's the other problem, that reading is no longer so popular with our students. So if you don't listen to the language, you don't read the language, it's very difficult to grasp the concepts of the language. So these are the main problems which, according to me, are playing a vital part in this whole scenario. And when I was working on this project, I took all these considerations, I kept all these in mind, and tried to tackle these problems through by means of this program.
I'm interested to hear your solutions to this, because I can see various challenges involved.
Okay, so the first thing I did was, what type of courses do we need for languages? We definitely have to move away from the type of courses where all the attention is focused on, almost all the attention is focused on the writing skills. So that's why it's called a language proficiency, because we are focusing on the four basic skills of the language, which is reading, writing, speaking, and listening. So we're no longer going for an examination at the end of the year, which is based almost entirely on the writing skills, but students will be having four different exams, one for every skill. And for a student to move on to the next level, he is not obliged to pass from the four skills.
So you could be very good in listening, not so good in
writing.
That's
right. Now, why did we go for this type of project? Because, first of all, you might have students in class who might have a learning disability, which might not allow them to pass from all the four basic skills. Let's take a practical example. A dyslexic child. He finds it very difficult to write. Now, why shouldn't he, because he has a difficulty in writing, continue with the reading, with the listening, with the speaking skills? He can obtain a level 3 in the 3 skills. Okay, he cannot maybe arrive at level 3 in writing, but that does not exclude him from continue to studying a language. Even from the employment point of view, there are certain jobs around, for example, call centers, hospitality industry, where employees are never asked to write anything. They need the writing, they need the speaking skills, they need the listening skills. These students, if they do this project, if they follow this program of studies, they can continue studying on two skills, three skills, possibly even the four skills, and it makes it easier for them to find a job, and it makes it even better for the employer, because he will know exactly what skills each student will have. Because today we have a situation where a student who sits for SEC Italian, I take Italian as an example because it's my area of expertise. So we have a student who sat for SEC Italian in May 2014. He applied for a job to work as a, I don't know, front office person, waiter, in a restaurant, in a hotel, anywhere. And the employer sees his MET-SEC certificate, SEC certificate. Oh, great, you got a 4 in Italian. That's wonderful. So you can speak in Italian. But that's not reality. The employer does not know that the student involved probably might have missed the oral part of the exam. And he still got the certificate because the majority of the marks are based on the writing skills, not on the other skills. So with this type of certification, the students will have a certificate for each and every skill in each level they reach. So, for example, let's imagine I am sitting for level 2 Italian proficiency. Okay, so I sit for the examinations, four different exams, because the marks of each exam do not compensate for the other skills. So each skill has its own marks. And I pass from speaking and listening, and I fail the writing and the reading part. I will be awarded a certificate saying Mario Pace has obtained a level 2 in Italian speaking and listening. So this certificate will give a faithful picture of the skills learned or acquired by the student in a particular language. Now, another major difference, if we compare it to the curriculum in school, is that in the proficiency, language proficiency program, there will be no half-yearly examinations in school for those languages which are following this type of program. Now, the question is why? There are various reasons why. The first one is that the syllabus, the program of studies, is not prescriptive. The syllabus is based on topics. Every topic has a number of learning outcomes. For example, I can give you an example. For example, topic 2 in Italian is Una vita a colori. That's the name of the topic. Now, the learning outcomes are: I can identify and understand the days of the week. I can identify and say the months of the year. I can identify, say, the four seasons, etc., etc. So the teacher knows that the student is required at level 1 to know these, to reach these outcomes. But it's up to the teacher when and how to present the lessons. Apart from this, even the linguistic notions, they are listed. The teacher knows that at level 1, the student should know, for example, the definite article, simple prepositions, etc. But it's up to the teacher when and how to introduce them in class, because it all depends on the level and the ability of the students he has in class. And the half-yearly exam does not allow such a system. It's not flexible, because if you know that you have the exam in February, you are obliged to do a number of these notions by February, because they're going to be tested. So we wanted to do away with the half-yearly exam. Instead of the half-yearly exam, we have introduced two concepts: self-assessment and continuous assessment. How does self-assessment work? At the end of each topic, the student will be given a self-assessment sheet. We took the learning outcomes of each topic, and the student is asked to tick. He just has to tick. Yes, I can. I still have difficulties. No, I cannot. So, for example, I can say the days of the week. And he ticks, yes, I can, I still have difficulties, or no, I cannot. He ticks all the outcomes, and that self-assessment sheet passes on to the teacher. The teacher, on the basis of the continuous assessment being given in class, ticks the same boxes parallel to that of the student.
According to her or his opinion.
That's right. So, you might have the situation where the student and the teacher are on the same wavelength. But you can have the situation, and we know that sometimes students are witty enough that they try to cheat their parents, and they mark them all, yes, I can. Or they might have a low self-esteem and say, no, I cannot.
Yes, more likely, I think, somehow.
So, if the teacher sees that her assessment is different from the student's assessment, they have to discuss these differences. At the end of the day, that sheet goes to the parents, and the parents have to sign that self-assessment sheet. So the parents, every month, know exactly where their student is with regards to that particular language. And they also will know whether the student, their son or daughter, and the teacher are agreeing on the assessment or not. So that's the self-assessment part. The continuous assessment, at the end of each topic, the teacher will give the students a number of tasks. At least 4 tasks per month, one on every language skill. And a mark is given for each task, and that forms the continuous assessment. In fact, at the end of the year, the students will sit for a national learning proficiency examination. It's going to be a national examination. There's going to be a board of examiners for each language, because this project is intended not just for state schools, but for state, church, and independent schools.
Has it been laid out that widely, or are you still piloting it?
During this scholastic year, it is in pilot stage. As from September 2015, it will be spread out to more schools. In fact, I already know that a number of church schools are going to introduce the project in September 2015, so it's going to be rolled out practically on a national scale. So there's going to be a board of examiners for each and every language. There will be one exam session national, one exam session in the sense that there will be 4 exams, yes, one for every skill. Each exam is out of 25 marks. Someone might say, okay, if you add 25 or you do 25 times for, it's 100 marks. No, it doesn't work that way. You'll have a separate mark for each skill. 20 marks are based on the final examination. 5 marks are based on the continuous assessment. So there's the ratio, 20% continuous assessment, 80% summative assessment. And that's at the end of the year, students sit for this exam. Now, if the student manages to pass at least two of the 4 skills, he's promoted to Form 4 and starts Level 2. If he fails to pass at least 2 skills, he's promoted to Form 4 but continues at Level 1. So here we're moving to an individualized, personalized form of learning.
That's what sounds a bit difficult for the schools.
Well, I've discussed
organizationally.
I've been discussing this since last year with the education authorities and with church schools and independent schools. It doesn't seem to be such an issue. In fact, there are ways and means of, at least they promised me, there are ways and means of going about it.
What about the idea? It sounds like a very interesting way of approaching language learning. And it might be interesting even for those who are capable of doing the SEC examinations. I mean, would you have students studying for the SEC side and studying perhaps for this as well? Can they do it concurrently?
I mean, for the time being, we are marketing this project for those students who are at risk of not getting SEC certificate. In fact, we're starting this project at Form 3 level because they already have 2 years studying the subject, Form 1 and Form 2, and we already get an indication at the beginning of Form 3 who are those students who are facing difficulty or difficulties in a particular language, who are those who are doing well in the language. So for the time being, we'll have a scenario where at Form 3, we'll have students studying for SEC, students at Level 1 language proficiency. Form 4, we're going to have a scenario with SEC students, Level 1, and Level 2. Form 5, we might have SEC, Level 1, Level 2, and Level 3. Now, Level 3 is at par with SEC. Eventually, the idea is that SEC will, in foreign languages, will get absorbed into this type of program and will have a one certificate at level 3. But it has to be in language proficiency. Okay. We have already started discussions with MATSEC about this. I must say that even their feedback and reactions are very positive. So I don't think there should be any problems. But that's something that, it's not something short term, definitely. One has to think about it, discuss it in detail, and arrive at a solution or a compromise.
Well, it's certainly a novel way, at least from my point of view. I haven't heard of this kind of approach before, and I'm sure it will sound very interesting to parents, because I know that a lot of parents would like their children to be following languages, but they are finding these
right.
problems, and this looks like perhaps a solution.
That's right. In fact, I can say that we are currently piloting the project in Italian, in two different state schools, one boys' state school, one girls' state school. We have 6 classes, 3 in each school, doing this project at Form 3, Level 1. And I must say that the feedback I am receiving, both from the parents' point of view, and from the parents' side, and from the teacher's side, is very, very positive. In fact, what the teachers are telling me most is that children are highly motivated because most of them had problems in grasping the basic skills. Now, since at Form 3 level, we started afresh, they are more mature than they were in Form 1. And they are grasping the concepts and they are enjoying the lessons. Why? Because even the way of teaching is different. The way of teaching is totally different because with the SEC system, we were more focused on writing. Now, with this system, we are more focused on the 4 skills. So students have more time to talk in class, have more time to interact with each other, and this motivates the students.
Well, that sounds like a very good idea. And I'd like to thank Dr. Mario Parch for coming to talk to us today about this project of language proficiency assessment. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. البرنامج اللي عندكم كم سمعتوا كان مجيوب ليلكم بالشوقة الطيبة تفارسنس فاونديشن.